Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Kensington Mine near Juneau recently cut pay by 20% to all its hourly employees hired before 2016, citing a financially challenging year. In a memo sent in early January, the mine's general manager, Steve Ball, wrote that the pay cut beginning on January 21st was originally offered as a premium, and it was not supposed to last forever. It was introduced back in 2016 as a, quote, short-term financial relief, unquote. The memo said, moving forward, all hourly employees will be paid the same amount for the same job, regardless of their hire date. The gold mine is owned by Core Alaska and is about 45 miles northwest of Juneau, near Berners Bay. It's only accessible by air or water. Kensington began commercial production in 2010. Now, with about 400 employees, the company is the second largest private employer in the city and borough of Juneau. The company did not answer KTOO's questions about how many employees would be affected and what financial impact offering the premium had on the mine. Rochelle Lindley, the mine's community and government affairs manager, provided a statement from the company saying it does not comment on employee compensation matters. According to Ball's memo, the mine's mill grade and overall production have dropped almost 20% over the past 3 years, and labor costs per employee have increased 7% in the same period. He wrote that the mine is not in a financial position to continue the premium and will struggle to remain viable long-term if it does not find ways to reduce costs. And in 2023, Petersburg's economy got a boost from an unexpected source, film and TV crews. Three reality TV shows and one feature-length documentary were shot in the remote southeast town. The sudden influx of crew members was a small windfall for many local retailers, charter companies, hotels, and restaurants. But not everybody in the community is happy to see their backyard on TV. For the Alaska Economic Report, Shelby Herbert has a story.
The Tides Inn is one of just two hotels in Petersburg, and it's hosted almost every visiting film crew to pass through the town since the COVID-19 pandemic. The over 50-year-old inn is built into a steep hill just off the main drag and has a clear view of the ocean. When you walk in, it's tidy and warm inside. But with the departure of the cast and crew of Outlast and Port Protection, the lobby is pretty quiet. Hotel manager Holly Childs fondly remembers the crews that came and went this winter.
You know, I've had regular hotel guests do more outrageous things than they do.
More than anything else, Childs appreciates the crews for the lift they've given to the local economy, especially in the off-season, when the fishing boats have turned in and the tourists have trickled out. In the fall, when Childs would only expect to book the occasional traveling government employee or grade school sports team, Tides Inn was almost completely sold out.
It means a lot to me, like it does everybody else around here, to get that little extra boost. To me, that's very much a positive. Can't imagine how being a bad thing to have business come to town, you know, especially that time of the year. So it's been really good to us.
For now, many of the inn's rooms sit empty. Childs hopes more film crews will return in the new year. Business owners around town say the TV and film crews gave them a surprisingly profitable winter season. The U.S. Forest Service, which approved the necessary permits to film on federal land, estimates the crews flooded Petersburg with at least $1 million. But it's a controversial issue in the community. The Forest Service allowed a film crew to take over a popular hunting spot during peak moose hunting season. Local subsistence hunter Lee Gilpin said Outlast set up camp in a spot that gets a lot of traffic from youth hunters due to its easy accessibility and safe terrain.
If you're growing up in Petersburg and you had one season of your deer hunting that you couldn't get to during high school, it's a quarter of your easy access hunting area gone. You know, a quarter of the time you can hunt there has been put away so somebody could make a few dollars.
He's not the only one who feels that way. When the Forest Service opened a comment period for Outlast's special use permit, they were inundated with letters of concern about the project from people who use that land to hunt. This isn't the first time Petersburg residents have tangled with reality TV show crews who popped up in their backyards. In recent years, some locals opposed the Discovery series Alaskan Bush People, which they say cast the region in a negative light. But opinions vary. Even among Petersburg hunters, some have personally chartered and guided for film crews that came to town this year. Clay Newcomb is a content creator for Meat Eater, a television and web series about hunting, fishing, and foraging across the United States. Newcomb and his crew came to Petersburg to shoot an episode about trapping wolves. He wasn't in town for long. Most of his crew's visit was spent deep in the wilderness. But he hired and featured a local hunting guide. And he stopped through town to resupply.
Oh, I loved Petersburg. It was a beautiful little coastal town. We had breakfast there, and it was really cool. Went to the grocery store, went to the hardware store, ate lunch there. We're kind of buzzing around, you know.
Newcomb may have only been in Petersburg for a short time, but local businesses appreciate the extra patronage and the exposure. Along with all the letters of concern, several people representing different businesses in town wrote in favor of letting more film crews set up shop. Scott Newman is one of them. He's a Petersburg hunting guide and pilot. He also sits on the borough assembly. He thinks the film crews are a good thing for Petersburg. Newman turned his own profit from film crew business this year. He piloted seaplane flights for Outlast in the fall, as well as for a Nat Geo documentary filmed in late summer. But he says a lot of other businesses in town benefited too. He says with falling fish prices and the sale of one of its two major seafood processing plants, the future is uncertain for the town's economy.
Petersburg is a town that was built by fish, basically. And, you know, we all see the winds of change on the horizon. And I think Petersburg is going to have to decide how they're going to navigate for the maximum benefit to the community.
Now, he says, it's up to the town to decide its own future, whether that means trying to weather the storm of low dock prices or opening themselves up to a new type of customer. Either way, once all the media shot in Petersburg gets produced later this year, he's sure all the exposure will beckon new crews to town. In Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
And an Irish band called I Draw Slow is on tour of Alaska. After drawing big crowds at the Anchorage Folk Festival last week, the acoustic group is taking its blend of traditional Irish music and American bluegrass to Juneau. As KNVA's Rhonda McBride reports, one part of their performance is distinctly Irish.
I Draw Slow is a string band out of Dublin with fiddle, guitar, bass, and banjo, and the sublime brother and sister harmonies of Dave and Louise Holden. Louise writes most of the lyrics to the songs the group does. She says she uses them to share stories.
Originally, songs and balladry would have been a way of capturing a story and carrying it through from generation to generation. From the days when there would have been no telly, there'd be no movies, so this would be the entertainment. This is how you get stories across.
The songs range from a story about a bird that gets lost in an airport.
There's a bullfinch in the terminal on the wrong side of the glass.
To one taken from an old newspaper article about a woman who fell from a lighthouse. Holden also writes songs in what she calls Irish or
Gaeilge. Gaeilge.
Gaeilge, the indigenous language of Ireland. Holden says the Irish, like Alaska Natives, are in a battle to save their language. Although everyone learns it in school, she says most are embarrassed to speak it because they aren't fluent, which is why she decided to write a love song in the true heart language of the Irish.
You can safely go to Irish because it's got that freshness and it feels like it's coming from the deepest architecture of our brains because that's what our foremothers and forefathers spoke. So having some access to your own indigenous language, I think, is very important for yourself.
The title of this song in English is called My Share of Life, a song about deep love and yearning, with lyrics, Holden says, that can't really be translated. That's why she says indigenous languages have a power to express much more than words. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
Jangatar.